I first wanted to share a little bit about Valentine's Day, because that's what's happening on Friday. Did you know that? And hence you thought it was a Hallmark holiday, which it has become. There is so much more depth to Valentine's Day. There are, of course, Saint Valentines. And there were actually way back in the early days, paper hearts and in signing notes, your Valentine. Actually, that was known by the Saint Valentine who was martyred on February 14th in the year 270. So way back then. One story is that Saint Valentine, the European Saint Valentine, was either a priest or a bishop, or maybe there were two, we're not really sure. But one of those guys actually healed a judge's daughter who was blind. He healed her of her blindness. And then apparently he took a liking to her and he gave her a note signed, "Your Valentine." In another story, he was trying to help the Christian men not be drafted into the Roman army, and so he secretly married them. And then later, when they were being persecuted, he cut out parchment hearts, and he gave them to them to remind them of God's love and their marriage vows. So look at all that sweetness that we come from. And even though he's much less known than the other two, there is a third Saint Valentine who was an African martyr. And this Saint Valentine, according to Agra Ben, he would have lived in a very multi-ethnic, multi-colored world of imperial Rome in Africa, where Africans played really key roles in the development of Western civilization. I mean, things like founding monasticism, writing literature, and even sitting upon the imperial throne of Rome. So Afra imagines that Saint Valentine looked a little bit like this Fahum mummy, there it is, pup portrait from Roman Egypt. And these, if you aren't familiar with these Fahum mummy portraits, what they are is when they buried the mummies of really important people, let's say people who had made a big impact, they also did these portraits where they painted on these wooden planks and buried them with the mummy so people could see what that person looked like in life. So in a kind of Valentine to all of us, Afra writes, does the color of your Saint Valentine really matter? And he says, it's clear it still does. It matters to the people of African descent so they can see themselves in history. And it matters to people who are not of African descent so they can see the same thing. He continues, I hope this Valentine's Day we can spare a bit of love and remembrance for all those whose contributions are little remembered because of the color of their skin. And also for all of those whose contributions are remembered but whose identities have been erased. Happy Valentine's Day, and I hope you have a great Black History Month too. Black History Month is all about showing some love, isn't it? It's about showing a little love for the contributions that Black people have made throughout history and honoring that and learning about that. And showing some love can be done in so many different ways for groups like Black Americans or Black people all over the world, people of color, all the groups, right? And one another. In general, there's so many different ways we can show love. And underneath those expressions and those sharings is a pool that we draw from. Really, this kind of sharing of love is embedded in our own self-love. You've heard the conventional wisdom say, right? You have to love yourself first before you can really love another truly and fully. And that conventional wisdom has a lot of truth in it. So when we cultivate self-love, where do we turn but within, right? We turn within to our own hearts, to our own bodies, to our own minds. And in that turning in, we come closer to that source. We touch the source of love. As we believe in unity, our second principle is the divine I am, right? That divine I am is innate within us. And so many of us, for the different terms that we use, God, goddess, godness, goodness, spirit, source, the great one, the great spirit, all of those terms really come down to one thing, don't they? Love. We could call it agape love. We could call it divine love. But that is that essence that I think so many of us long to return to. So this pool of love that is within us is pretty vast. I know a lot of us at different times in our lives have tapped that, right? There are moments when you realize how deep love can truly go. Like the love that Sharon just sang of, that very deep love, that knowing that there is an everlasting source of love, and sometimes we come in contact with it, and it's like, wow, wow. Have you had those moments? Yeah. I mean, when we fall in love with another person, what's really happening is that the divine in me and the divine in you are greeting one another, right? And then we have that, like, in love, like, we're really in the reverie of that Christ spirit or divine spirit of the purity of love in that period of time that we call falling in love. We're falling into that everlasting pool. And then usually something happens, right? It's like the ego comes back in, life gets busy again, we begin to see with different eyes. But you can go to those moments, and then over time, hopefully, with your partners and your loved ones, that love comes into a deeper space because it's human and divine, right? It's more holistic over time. But to know those moments, whether it's we're falling in love with another person or we're out in nature and we just have that really expansive feeling or the feeling of being held by Mother Ocean, you know those feelings, right? Or being on a mountain, just feeling like, wow, the majesty, the beauty, I'm in love. Yeah. So it's those moments that as we drop into them, to not forget that they're always available to us. That feeling, that knowing, that everlasting pool, it doesn't go away. We, in our minds, get busy and put our attention on other things, but that never goes away. The love is always there. So how do we reach this everlasting pool of love, you ask? I hear you asking, right? How do we reveal it? How do we uncover it? How do we get there? Kristen, I want to know. Do you know? I don't know any more than you do, but I do have some experiences I want to share with you today. So I'm glad you asked. Silently. So let's take a deeper dive into this and see what is the thing, one of the things we can extract, and today, you know, we're going to extract one of those things. What is that part of that pathway? I have found that there is a very profound pathway to this, a very profound way to get there, and it's called longing. Longing. Longing, like yearning, longing. Yeah, okay. Well, I just thought I'd, you know, throw out a different word because we, yeah. So when I lived in Kansas City, I had a dog named Hazel, also known as the Hairy Mystic. She was. I'll tell you other stories about her, which I probably have told you some of those stories. But anyway, just to focus on this idea, she was a beagle, but I never got to hear her bay. And my housemate Stephen said whenever I would go away, she would stand at the back gate and bay. And so my understanding of what she was doing there was just a longing to be reunited, right? Maybe even trying to do it loud enough so she could call me back home. And I imagine she might have sounded something like this. Ooh. Hello. You can just hear the longing, can't you? Oh, breaks my heart. So Rumi explains that humans are like these dogs that are baying and whining for connection in his poem, Love Dogs. One night, he writes, a man was crying, Allah, Allah. His lips grew sweet with praising until a cynic said, so, I've heard you calling out, but have you ever gotten a response? The man had no answer to that. He quit praying, and he fell into a confused sleep. He dreamed he saw Kadir, the guide of souls, in a thick green foliage. Why did you stop praising? Kadir asked. Because I've never heard anything back, the man said. The longing you express is the return message. The grief you cry out from draws you toward union. Your pure sadness that wants help is the secret cup. Listen to the moan of a dog for its master. That whining is the connection. There are love dogs no one knows the name of. Give your life to be one of them. Give your life to be one of them. Now, we could trace longing, any longing we have, I think, back if we said, well, what am I really longing for there? What is that really long for? What is it? All the way back to the longing to go home, right? To our spiritual home, to Mother, Father, God consciousness. But there are lots of ways it shows up, and that longing connects us to our love and our devotion to Source. As Rumi tells us in this poem, they become one in the same, essentially, longing and love. He says, the return message from Source is the longing. Longing is the connection. It is the union. It is the secret cup. What if that were true for you? What if your longing for love was love itself? Would that change anything for you? That feels like a complete game changer to me. What would happen if you fully connected to your longing or reconnected to it if you've lost it, a sense of it? Well, this all happened to me last week when I was on a conscious movement retreat. Through movement, I got in touch with myself as an infant, reaching out, longing, longing, longing to be picked up, to have more love and connection with my mama. And we don't always, as children, get our every need met, do we? We have human parents, after all, with their own stuff, their own shortcomings, their own healing journeys to have. So children, when they don't get all their needs met, as you probably know and maybe are familiar with firsthand, they strategize to how they can get their needs met. And if it still doesn't really work, if you're an infant, you know, there's not a whole lot of different things you can do. Then they just kind of decide, maybe that's a feeling I shouldn't have anyway, or a need I shouldn't have anyway, and it gets suppressed. So I realized last week that I have been running from my longing for 59 years. That's a long distance marathon. But there it was, still there. Patiently waiting for me to reunite with it. there is so much going on in these bodies, aren't there? I mean, we are a storehouse of memories and wounds and healings and resilience. And I mean, what an amazing, magnificent creation you are. And each of us, all that we hold, not only in this lifetime, but perhaps others, along with all that ancestry and the collective, holy cow, no wonder we have a hard time some days. Right? It's a lot. But as we go in, as we do our work, as we do our spiritual practices, and we come into new forms of practice, like this is for me, new things come up, new awakenings, new meaning of the love inside of us, or whatever it is that we might be seeking. So in my experience last week, it went further. I went into my mind's eye to connect with this longing with a little coaching from the teacher. And all of a sudden I was like, whoa, it is so deep. It is so vast. It looks like it just like drops way into the earth like a big well. She said, do you want to go in it? I was like, yeah, I'm game. And so into this dark well I went, filled with my longing, and the biggest surprise was it felt really good. I was like, oh, my longing feels really good. Wow, it was like honey. It was like, yummy stuff, right? Longing is good stuff. This is what I'm here to tell you about today. Stop running if you've been running. Have you been running? Have you been suppressing it? Oh, let's get in it. Because I have to tell you, one of the things that has happened is, and this may be true for you, because I think a lot of us on the spiritual path spend a lot of time from the heart chakra up, right? We spend a lot of time in the love portal, talking about opening up our power center, our imagination, our crown, our faith. And this is really where we do a lot of our work. But what about from the heart to the feet? What happened to the rest of our bodies, right? They just kind of get left behind on the spiritual journey. But what I'm discovering in a very visceral way is we need all of it, right? So maybe you have suppressed your longing. Maybe you would like to turn toward it. What if you did? What if you surrendered completely, sunk into your longing like you would love? When you stop resisting it, of course. If you met it completely, your love, your longing, you would meet your love, wouldn't you? Maybe. I guess we'll find out, right? So you might start to feel like I do now, which is here, really here. In fact, I said, oh my gosh, I feel like I'm in my body fully for the very first time. And somebody said, welcome to your incarnation. Wow, okay, better late than never, right? And so I have to say, I feel different. I feel different. I feel denser. I feel more fully here. I feel more grounded. I'm very aware of the sensations in my body from here down in ways that I wasn't before. And so I want this for everyone because I feel more whole. I feel more complete. And I think this connecting with the longing thing is the key. Rumi knew. A lot of his poems were about longing. You know, the saints of early Christianity, and Rumi was Sufi, the saints of early Christianity, and probably other religions too, I know other religions too, really believed that you had to deny the body in order to have spiritual experience, right? And we've been taught this through the years. It's all about transcendence, right? It's all about, you know, getting out of the body, beyond the body, levitating, bilocating. You know, everything we can do to get out of the physical experience tells us that we can have more of a spiritual experience. And there is a time and a place for some of that. But if we're focused on that and calling that only our spiritual experience, we're cutting off half of our experience, maybe more. Because being human is a sacred experience. Being embodied is a privilege, I think, beyond anything that we can really fully grasp. And so it's coming into the fullness of who we are, and I feel the present energy all the way through us brings a sense of love to ourselves and to the planet that we could otherwise not really fully anchor. So these saints of old and the church for churches for thousands of years have taught us this idea: body bad, flesh bad, rise above it, spirit good, right? And so it's in our, probably in our DNA, right? It's in our ancestry, it's in our collective memory, it's in our history, it's maybe what you were told in your own growing up experiences with churches and religion, perhaps, or you learned through the culture. And so it's an unlearning process for us to come into the sacredness of the body and the sacredness of our longing. Our desire is actually the pathway, a clean pathway, a clear pathway, one profound pathway to love. So would you like to connect with your own longing a little more? Would you like to maybe have some of these experiences? Because, you know, really, back to this idea of self-love, it's like, how can we really love somebody or everybody if we don't love our body? There's so much shame about body too, you know, right? Throughout our culture, there's so much body shame. And so that puts us at another level of distance from our bodies. But what if you just said, my body is perfect just as it is, exactly as it is. Just like a few times a day even, said, I love my body just as it is, perfect and whole. Would that be healing for you? Yeah, wow, I can feel it in the room. It's just like, it's a travesty. It's a travesty what we have done to ourselves to distance ourselves from our love through all of this process of body bad, spirit good, that is untrue. So how about a little meditation visualization to connect? And then there may be, if this really appeals to you, there could be a lot of other things you can do to really start to connect with your longing, like artwork, time in nature, movement, music, lots of different ways that poetry that can help you stir your longing. But for now, in this room, in this space, I think a little bit of connection inside might get us a jump start. So I invite you, if you want to participate, to close your eyes or maybe just do a soft focus, cast to the floor. And just allow yourself a moment to breathe and to drop. I'm going to say, like, oh, let's go all the way into the belly. And just take a nice deep breath and let your belly relax and expand. Let yourself have a Buddha belly. And then when you breathe out, you can just bring it all, like imagine your stomach is going all the way back to your spine, just really expelling all that air. Taking a nice deep breath back in, let your belly turn into Buddha belly. And exhaling all the way through. And let's just do one more like that. Breathing in. Start with a question for our bodies and hearts, not necessarily for our minds, but just to see, is there anything you long for? Maybe something you've been longing for a long time. Perhaps it's longing for love. Just see if you can get in touch with that longing. Invite it in. might show up in a sensation, a color, may have a certain feeling to it. Let your longing be revealed to you in its own way. And if you're finding resistance to letting it in, maybe you can just peek inside the resistance a little bit, opening up that doorway, seeing if there might be a little person in there, your inner child who wants to be connected with their longing. It's maybe a little bit afraid. To the extent you want to open up the space and invite the longing in, just let it come. Maybe just greeting it and welcoming it and thanking it and perhaps making a date with your longing to spend some more time later, letting it infill and reunite you with the purest love inside. When you're ready, I invite you to come back into the space. See what the church fathers and the modern day marketing phenomena don't know is God is our body. Love is our body. And these things cannot be separated if we choose not to separate from them. Our longing, our bodies, our love. And just as we have to dig deeper to uncover the accomplishments of marginalized people, such as the African martyr, Saint Valentine, we need to dig deeper sometimes to uncover our own source of love. And through our longing is a pathway. Longing itself can be as good as having whatever it is we long for. Yeah, doesn't make sense to the mind, but it does make sense to the heart, and it does make sense to the body, because there is a havingness, there is a sourcing, a recognition that there is this deep pool within me, and that when I long for it, when I yearn, I am expressing my devotion, I'm expressing my love. Like we've often said, grief is an expression of love. And in the same way, this longing, this yearning is an expression of love to be reunited, to be resourced, to come home. Embracing my longing has opened up a new portal of love for me, in me, and I want that for all of you too. On Wednesday, we had an interfaith peace vigil here, and there were lots of different religions represented and prayers and poems and music shared from these various traditions. And there was one line that really struck me that Muslim Sheikh Hassin shared in his prayer. He said, "We stand united in our longing for peace." Oh, don't we ever. We stand united in our longing for peace. And just to put a fine point on it, he echoed it in English, in Sanskrit, in Arabic, in Hebrew, peace, shanti, salam, shalom. By longing for peace or longing for love or longing for connection, we draw nearer to the source of it. So I want to encourage us all to open up to our longing and to see how it leads us back home. A deeper, more embodied love awaits you. This I know from my experience, and it's just in time for Valentine's Day. let's affirm together as we work with this throughout our week. Together? I follow my longing to a deeper, more embodied love. And so it is. Thank you.